BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Santi Morella.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsey Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Thumping on the wheel ride. The mix in our drink's a little stronger than you think. So get a grip, take a sip of that feel ride. Truck's jacked up, flat bills flip back. Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsey Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman slash elf, Sir Rockin.
I'm an elf, really?
You're an elf.
I'm an elf. Why am I an elf?
I don't know.
I thought I was an elf next week on the Christmas show. Apparently I'm an elf now. All right.
You mean the Jingle All the Rack show where we're doing Ask the Rack?
Yeah, yeah. We're doing Ask the Rack for Jingle All the Rack. Get it? Get it? Get it? Cool. We want your questions. Sounds immediate at wildtalkradio.com. We'll answer anything. And I mean anything. But we'll answer it. If you're a smartass, well, prepare for a smartass answer. Just point that one out. But we're open to anything, wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever you want to ask us, we're open, right?
Right.
So it's Ask the Rack on Jingle All the Rack next week on the show.
Yes.
Because it's Christmas and all.
Yeah, and Christmas on a Thursday, and well, we're taking Thursday off, so just deal with it, y'all.
Pretty much.
Enjoy the holiday with family, friends, or whatever you do.
And if you're Jewish, it'll be the end of, it'll, you know, be one day after Hanukkah ends, so.
So you can have your Hanukkah hangover.
You can definitely have your Hanukkah hangover. But thank you for spending your Hanukkah with us tonight.
Yes, thank you. Much appreciated. So we have a ton to get into on the show tonight. We have to talk to Tribute to the Troops. We have news. We have NXT. We have TLC.
And we have, you know, a little, you know, little snippet of something that we got to talk to a WWE superstar, too.
Well, yeah, we have The Miz. But it's not a full interview, y'all.
No. Just a little tiny bit, but we'll get to that here in a second.
We'll get to that here in a second, because we talked to The Miz about Tribute to the Troops, which we're going to jump into right now, because we're going to kind of talk highs and lows of it. We'll play you Miz's little snippet.
So where do you want to begin? You want to start with The Miz and then get into the show?
Yeah, let's start with The Miz.
So, earlier this week, WWE and NBC held a conference call that we were asked to be a part of, and representing the show is the one and only Lindsey Ward, because she's the host and everything. And she talked to The Miz, and, well, here's what took place.
Okay.
comes from the line of Lindsay Ward from Rack Radio Show. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks so much. Hi, Miss. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks so much for speaking with us today. I'm curious to know that in the 6 years that you've been doing tribute to the troops, if you have a favorite place that you've visited.
I would say Iraq. It was, you know, my first tour in for a tribute, and it just blows you away. Like, we went to so many bases, and just to see the lives that they live, you know, out there, it's really, truly hard to explain. I mean, it's a desert, and there's nothing to do. And I can just see people going stir crazy, especially when you're away from just normalcy, things that we take for granted, they don't have. You know, the internet doesn't work most of the time. You know, nowadays, you look at kids and you look at the adults, you look at everybody. They're always on their phones. You know, they don't have, you know, their cell phones out 24/7 texting, you know, their buddies, you know, Facebooking and Twitter. You know, that's just can't happen. So, I mean, a lot of the times, you know, their internet doesn't work, so they don't get the small things that we take for granted. And it's truly interesting. I mean, like I said, I mean, I visited one where there's no running water. I couldn't imagine not living with water for 6 months to a year. I mean, just the things that they go through on a day-to-day basis, it's just incredible. It's so noble. It's really cool.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
So that was Lindsay's chance to speak to the Miz as part of the conference call. If you would like to hear the entire conference call, well, we can tell you where you can find that. It's at youtube.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and it's right there for you to listen, the full 14-minute conference call, which featured a variety of media people from Crave Online, NBC, and, as everyone knows, Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald was also part of that conference call.
He was. It was kind of awesome.
So we would like to thank WWE and NBC for having us as a part of the conference call.
Yes, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be on it and to get the experience, and I can't wait to do it again.
Same here. It was a fun time. So, you know, thanks to them. And, well, you got another little tidbit with The Miz, and you never know what could happen down the line. We may speak to The Miz again. You never know.
Or, you know, a total diva.
We're a total diva, you know. New season starts at some point.
In January, doesn't it?
January 4th, to be exact. So keep a lookout.
Hint, hint. Wink, wink, wink.
There's your nut. There's your nut itch right there.
Yeah. There's your hint right there. So, you know, we got to talk to The Miz about Tribute to the Troops. And, well, now I say we actually talk about the show, which aired on Wednesday.
We've watched a lot of wrestling in the last 3 to 4 days.
Oh my god, Wrestling Week on USA is awesome.
It is. WWE Week is awesome. It's like, I haven't even really turned on the network except for tonight because it's like, oh my god, there's been so much wrestling on TV. It's like, crazy.
Jacksonville has a pool in their stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It gets hot in Florida. Did you know that?
So you put a swimming pool in your football stadium.
The Marlins have one, too, for baseball.
Who does that?
You know what? Arizona has one as well for the baseball team.
That's different. That's for the team.
No. At the stadium for the fans. These are all the stadiums I mentioned were for the fans.
You put a swimming pool in... Oh, okay.
It gets hot in Jacksonville. I don't know why it's hot in December, but
it's Florida.
I'm kind of curious. I'm going to look this up, but let's talk about the troops. Let's get into something.
Well, it was a great show.
It was, though. I was kind of sad it wasn't on like at the Army base like it was last year or outside like it has been in the past. That was my only disappointment of the show.
Yeah, I will say that the set last year was really cool where they were all coming out of the back of the plane in the hangar, but I understand reasons why they weren't on an Army base this year. For those of you that don't know, they visited Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia, but they actually held the show in the arena in Columbus. And, you know, I'm sure for them it's a logistical nightmare to have to bring all their personnel, all their equipment, everything onto an army base and secure it and be able to go back and forth like they do. So this was probably a much easier time for them. Plus, they could also make a little bit of money because they did have the troops and their families there, but they also had, they were selling general admission tickets.
Yeah, for the SmackDown taping, yeah.
Yeah, so had I been able to go, I would have gone. Although I would have been upset because I would have gotten like 5 seconds of Bray Wyatt and that would have been it.
No, no. You would have had no, since they taped tribute to troops, you would have had a whole thing with Bray Wyatt.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, because the 5 seconds of Bray was this week's tapings.
Oh, that's right.
He was at the troops. Yeah. No,
yeah, he's a tribute to the troops.
And then you would have had the 5 seconds on SmackDown a week prior to. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway,
let's talk about the show. All
right. Let's talk about the show.
We got to talk about. We'll save the boot camp match for last. The show opened with Hogan and Cena, which was cool, and you have all that fun stuff. And they set up a big 8-man tag, and the heels surrounded Hogan and John Cena in the ring, because you had The Miz, who was in the ring talking trash to Hogan and John Cena, which was fun. The best part of that opening segment, the promos were great. Miz was awesome, as he always is when he talks. But it was Sandow, or Mizdow, whatever you want to call him. Miz gets into it with John Cena, and goes for right hand, does the punch, blah, 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 gets knocked over the apron. So what does Sandow do? He takes a moment. He centers himself and gives a look to John Cena, and then he does the fake punch thing by himself and then staggers around and then eventually falls out of the ring. It was tremendous. He sold it like a champ. It was awesome.
Tell me Mizdow sucks. Tell me that. I dare you, because he's amazing.
Mizdow sucks.
You suck.
No, I'm just... You said tell you that. I don't believe it. I'm just... You know, you said to say it, so I said it.
Don't be a dick.
That's what I'm good at. You know this.
Yeah, I know.
So you had that, and then you had your usual, hey, it was the Usos versus Golden Stardust. It was a fine match. But the segment of the night really was Lana and Rusev in the ring. They were talking down America and the troops. And then Daniel Bryan came out, and he was standing up for the USA and going, yes, 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 and all that fun stuff. And, you know, Daniel Bryan was... The back and forth between Lana and Daniel Bryan was tremendous.
Oh, it was awesome.
That was tremendous. But, you know, since Daniel Bryan can't actually fight, he seemed like he could. So he came down to the ring, but he didn't come alone. He had a troop come from the crowd. A couple come from the crowd. And then two men came down from the rafters. Which was awesome.
That was a really cool visual. I'm not going to lie. That was awesome. The spot from the rafters, that was cool.
Because you didn't expect it.
No, you didn't. And you're like, holy crap.
So they came down and, yeah, it was a fun little segment. And Rusev backed off because, you know, you got American troops. So, you know, the big Russians going back down and all. And it was a great little segment on tribute troops. It was fun. And I told Lindsay, he's like, I wouldn't mind seeing a Rusev-Daniel Bryan feud if that could happen sometime.
If you do it right, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
It could be really good. But let's get to... there's a big 8-man tag. It was John Cena and Ziggler and Eric Rowan and the Ryback, I believe, against Kane, Rollins, Luke Harper, and... Big Show?
I think so, yeah.
I believe that was eight. It was basically, yeah, that was eight-man team. And the good guys went over. But let's talk about the boot camp match, can we? First.
No, before we get to the boot camp match, stop making Luke and Eric fight.
Oh, we got to talk about Eric later. All right. After we're done the boot camp match, we have a little something we got to talk about Eric for.
Oh, no. What did he do?
You saw what he did. We'll talk about it.
Well, we gotta talk about that.
Since we've been watching a lot of wrestling, we gotta talk about it. Because the news is late this week, we'll get through it. And then, so we had the boot camp match. First, Sergeant Slaughter with the bedazzled Christmas hat, wrapping around his hat.
He was being festive. What's wrong with being festive?
There's nothing wrong with being festive. It was just like they did a close-up of it. It just looked weird and awkward. But it was awesome to see Sarge there for the boot camp match. He was the ring announcer for it. And like Sunday, and we'll get to Sunday later, they beat the crap out of each other.
These two are genuinely having fun in this feud. My only concern is that I'm really scared they're going to kill each other. Because they're really trying.
Yeah, yeah. The kendo, they had a kendo stick involved. They taunted each other by swinging their stick at each other. And it just... Yeah, it was a good, nice little brawl. Both guys had a lot of time in control. And for a tribute to a troops match, it actually went pretty long.
Which, yeah, they got a lot of time.
Which was...
Because I think these were the guys that people wanted to see.
These were the guys that people wanted to see. It was the match people wanted to see. It was a great match. Dean Ambrose came out on top after using Sergeant Slaughter's loaded boot and then putting poor Bray Wyatt through a table.
And Bray's going, that's it. I'm not doing any more tables.
Sadly, that came before TLC, so it was like... Crap.
Yeah, it did.
Where he went through a bunch more, and we'll talk about that later in the show when we recap WWE tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
Yeah, but I actually was sitting here watching him, thinking, wow, Bray and Dean are moving really good, and then I remembered, oh, wait, that's right. This is taped before TLC. Mm-hmm. That's right, because if you watch SmackDown, Dean was moving.
Dean wasn't
moving so well.
He was moving a little slow.
And Bray wasn't really moving much at all.
No, but luckily
they were just a touch sore.
A little bit sore, yeah. So that was Tribute to Troops. I thought it was a really good, fun 2 hours. Again, I missed the aspects of it feeling more like a different event than it did this time around. Because this time felt more like a WWE show than a tribute show, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it was definitely less patriotic themed than it has been in the past. Obviously, not having it on a military base, having general admission, because it was done with a SmackDown taping, kind of took away from the specialness of it. But overall, it was a really good show. You had that feel-good night where all the faces win, everybody gets sent home happy. The crowd was super into it.
Should also say that the Divas had the Santa's Little Helper match, which Naomi won, and she had an awesome celebration afterwards. She was excited.
Go, Naomi.
Oh, and we got to need to talk about that. Rosa, honey, you got outclassed by Summer Rae in dancing. Just saying.
I know Rosa's trying, and I know she's trying so very hard. Bless her little heart. She just... No. Just...
No.
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 Honey, no. Just... No. Just...
No.
Stop. Please.
So that was... It had a less patriotic feel, but again, the 1 hour... The Florida Georgia Line, who played us into the show tonight, that was a tribute to the troops song. It'll have a little bit different feel because Vince, Summer Rae, Big Show, R-Truth, and Alicia Fox went overseas, so they'll be splicing some of that in to the one-hour version on NBC.
Yes.
At the end of the month, make sure you watch it on NBC, because that'd be awesome.
I'm sure they would appreciate it.
They certainly would. Well, before we get into the rest of the news presented by PWMania.com and TNASilent.com, the Haven for TNA fans... We gotta talk about this Eric Rowan fella.
Yes, we do.
It started, since there was 3 hours on Tuesday night, it started on Main Event. And he knows how to play chess.
He does.
He was playing chess and with Paige. And she had that look. It's like, oh, he has a nice brain. She took five.
Eric's got some game on him.
Eric has some game. Don't let him fool the man behind the mask, will you? He has some game. He knows how to pull in the ladies. Titus was not too happy.
No, he wasn't.
So if you have the network, go back and watch Main Event, because that was an awesome little 2-minute segment. because it's just Eric Rowan at being Eric Rowan. And his final line was, checkmate. It was tremendous.
She hands him either the queen or the king, and he's like, checkmate.
Right. There was that. But then there was SmackDown. Eric Rowan makes friends. I'm just going to let you tell the people how he makes friends, and I'm just going to sit here.
You're going to have to remind me, because I don't remember how Eric Rowan made friends.
Usos.
Oh, right. We got a turtle splash. Eric and Luke, out of all people, were leading teams, and it was Eric and the Usos versus Luke and...
Miz and Mizdow.
Yeah, Miz and Mizdow. And it was really awkward because Luke was just entirely confused by Mizdow. He had no idea what the hell was going on. Eric, being Eric, the adorable little ginger fluff that he is, decides he's going to mimic the Usos when they fly, and so we had a 315-pound man climb to the top rope. I should add, 315-pound man with the mind of a 5-year-old climb to the top rope and do a beautifully executed splash onto either Miz or Mizdow. I forget who it was. But it was just this hilarious moment, and it's like, oh my god, Eric did a turtle splash. And it was adorable.
Yeah, it was. JBL was like, this is where you watch sheep fly. You never see him fly, and he flew. But we like calling it the turtle splash because Eric Rowan is a turtle.
Well, he was a turtle. He's not a turtle anymore.
He's still a turtle to us. At least to me.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to this time last year where Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan were on Raw and they're squaring off in a cage and Eric is trying to climb the cage. He looks like a freaking turtle. And that's where it comes from. But
and because he wore a green jumpsuit. You know.
And he wore a green jumpsuit. But yeah, I really like what they're doing with Eric. I was super worried about him when the Wyatt family split. And they're doing their best with him, and it's getting over.
Though,
I don't like that they call him Big Red.
I don't like it either.
His name is Eric. Call him Eric, or Rowan, or both.
Or Eric, or both, yeah, Eric Rowan. That's his name, with his little pal Steve.
Steve isn't on the TV show. But...
Shh, he's there somewhere.
I like that we're kind of getting the misadventures of Eric. I almost want a reality series about it, of Eric Rowan wandering around our world in a sheep mask, utterly confused, completely terrified, but he sits down and he makes friends, and he does the most random stuff, like solve Rubik's Cubes and play chess and make wine and play guitar and everything else. You know, I want to see this. My only issue with it, and we're going to get a little bit more into this when we talk about TLC, is the fact that they've now had him lose twice. He won on SmackDown.
Three times.
But he lost on main event.
He lost three times this week.
Right, he did it on Raw too.
Yeah.
So three times, yeah. So we'll get into more of this for TLC when we talk about it. But, yeah, that's the only thing I don't like about it, but they're doing a good job with him otherwise.
Yes, yes, they are. And the little misadventures of Eric Rowan are tremendous. Keep them up, WWE. Please. We like them.
Yes, they're awesome. So, I think that does it for tribute to the troops.
It does. I say we get into some of the news.
I say we do, too. So where do you want to start?
You pick a spot.
Okay, well, I think we have to talk about the second biggest story that nobody really picked up on. Because you all suck. Just kidding. And that is that Naomi is no longer a part of Total Divas. She sent out a tweet saying that it was not her choice that she was taken off the show, but that she is off.
Yes.
And is no longer a part of the cast, hence probably the reason why she's getting a push. And so, which I'm okay with.
Which, by the way, I don't think JBL knows that she's off the show because he kept referring to her from Total Divas.
I don't think they're making that quite public yet, that she's off the show. But if you see the previews, she's not a part of them. She really kind of faded into obscurity at the end of last season.
Yeah, she really wasn't part of the first half of season 3. And that may be, that was a producer's call, I believe, because I believe they run since she got married. There isn't much drama for her at this point. That's sort of the reason that's come out. There's the lack of storyline drama they can come up with for her, because we have a lot of other couples, and the marriage drama is sort of gone to Natty and TJ and
Nikki and John.
And Nikki and John, well, they're not married, which we had a whole 45-minute discussion about, which was tremendous. But yeah, so Naomi's off the show. I thought her and Jimmy, or John, whatever you want to call him, were a tremendous part of that show, and we're going to miss them on that show. At least I know I am. I believe Lindsay will as well.
Yeah, I always liked Naomi and John. I thought that they were the...
They felt the most real.
They were the most real. They were themselves. They never tried to make up drama. They were never really acting. You could just tell that they were being very genuine, especially when they were around each other, and they were very relaxed. They have a wonderful, really beautiful relationship with each other, and it was such a privilege to be able to see that and be welcome to see that, because, you know, you don't... Total Divas is such a unique thing because we get to see their private lives, which is something that we are not privy to on any other stage for WWE performers, so we get to see their relationships outside of the ring. And I always thought that Trini and John had such an amazing relationship with each other, because they're so open and they're so honest and they're just themselves around each other. And there's an appreciation that I have for that, because you kind of look at some of the other couples and they don't have that.
No.
Where there isn't that comfort level, and that's kind of how you can tell how well a relationship is going to go and how long it's going to last.
Right.
Is that whether that comfort level is there and how open and honest they really are with each other. And those two are very, very honest. They get into it sometimes, but not a lot.
No, they don't, not a lot, but yeah. They felt the most real, and you were able to connect with them some more.
I want them to get their own show. Like, I know that they think there's not a lot of marriage drama, but it's like, I just want the shenanigans of Trinity and John guest starring Cameron. Just because Trinity was seriously the voice of reason for all those girls on that show, and now that voice of reason is gone. It's like, oh god, they're doomed. They're so doomed.
Like, in many circumstances, Natty is a voice of reason, but she's out of control on that show, so someone's going to have to actually control Natty, and I thought Naomi was going to be the one to do so, but apparently not.
Yeah, Naomi's like, look, alright, look, just chill.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, just on her own, she has such an amazing, wonderful energy to her, and you light up when you see her. Because she's just, there's something really special about her, and I hope they treat her right. Because we talk about people having it, she has it.
Yeah, yeah, she has a natural likability to her.
And that's an awesome quality to have. So, very sorry that Naomi is no longer a part of the show, but they are moving forward with two additions. And we should also note that Summer Rae, it looks like she is also off the show, though there is no confirmation of that. But she was not in the promos as well, as we've seen the additions of Alicia Fox and Paige.
Right, we've all seen the hype video. They've been playing on Raw and SmackDown, the main event and everything. And she's not a part of it, so it appears that she's not. But, again, I wanted to see more of her, but with Paige and Alicia Fox in there, I'm going to miss them both. I can do without Rosa Mendez, but hashtag Holy Naked Rosa returns when The Rock Extra returns, when Total Divas returns this January.
Yeah. Holy Naked Rosa. Yeah. She's... Bless her little heart. That's all I can say. Just bless her little heart. She's such a hot mess. She really is.
She really is. That's, yeah.
Bless her for it.
Speaking of relationships drama, I don't think there's much drama with one of the daughters of Vicky Guerrero.
Nope, it came out via Vicky's Instagram that Shaw Guerrero is engaged to a manly gentleman in one Aiden English.
Congratulations to both.
They're so cute.
We wish them all the best in their brewing romance and pending marriage.
Yes, best of luck. Vicky's now planning that fairy tale wedding. Have fun, y'all. Have fun. All I gotta say.
That's all you gotta say?
Yeah, that's all I got is have fun with that. Best of luck on that one. Run. Anytime your mom is like, I'm planning that fairy tale wedding, run. Just run.
Do the opposite.
Yeah, do the opposite. Elope.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Sorry.
Oh, I think get well wishes are in order, though.
I think get well wishes are in order for one Santino Marella. He had to have emergency surgery this past week for his neck, where they had to take all the hardware that just got put in out.
Yeah, I'm not sure what type of recovery will entail, but yeah, we've seen him on TV a lot the last few weeks, and apparently things weren't going well on last Thursday. He had to have it all removed, so that sucks, because he was hoped to make a comeback, and I think this just put a roadblock in that comeback, which sucks.
It does suck. I was hoping to see Santino come back, and no.
It was not to be. Speaking of comebacks, though, we're going to see a lot of comebacks this January.
We are?
Yeah, because coming this January in what's going to be called Raw Reunion, because the people in Dallas, Texas put it on their website, it's called Raw Reunion in Dallas, Texas, the go-home edition to the Royal Rumble will feature the returns of many WWE legends, including the likes of Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels.
That's an interesting mix.
The clique is getting back together.
Which means, well, Hunter's there. Hunter might show up.
Hunter might be back on TV back by then. But that's cool. I guess it's taking place. I'm not confirming this, but I would assume this is taking place instead of Old School Raw. I think they're going to cut down production of trying to do Old School Raw and just sort of do a Raw reunion, bringing out some of the legends. Which is fine. Though I love Old School Raw. They always have some fun times with Old School Raw. But I can see why they want to change it up a little bit and call it Raw reunion. That's fine.
I think Old School Raw has kind of run its course.
Right, you can go away with it for a year or two and bring it back and it'll be fresh again.
Yeah.
I think that's what they might be doing here. Because, again, the last Old School Raw, we got Jake Roberts, but we ran out of... The last one, sort of, we saw everything.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the epitome when Jake Roberts shows up out of nowhere after however many year absence from the WWE. I mean, that was... That gave you goosebumps to see him come back and achieve that. That was really cool.
Right. And
Dean Ambrose is still smiling about that.
Yeah, he is. And he's even smiling because he has a toy. His toy gets paired up with him.
And I've seen it. It's really nice.
So there you go. So that should be fun in January. We've been keeping you up to date on the show about the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom show on January 4th, which will feature Jim Ross as the announcer on that show. And, well, his partner for that show has been announced.
Oh.
And it will be the one and only Matt Stryker from former WWE announcer and current announcer for Lucha Underground. So JR and Matt Stryker, didn't they call SmackDown together for a while, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
They'll be reuniting in some fashion, and they will be calling the New Japan show on January 4th. That's cool. Good gig for him. Should be a fun commentary duo.
It should be, but speaking of commentary duos, there's another update on a commentary duo.
Yeah, we sort of announced it last week that Josh Matthews is taking over for Mike Tenay, and Mike Tenay is now becoming the host of the Impact Wrestling Unlocked, Unleashed, something to that effect. The one that airs on Saturday mornings. So he'll be hosting that, while Matthews will be the one in the booth with Taz on Thursday night, starting on January 7th, when they are live on Destination America.
It's the end of an era.
It really, really is. And one other little tidbit. WWE is working on a book for the Ultimate Warrior called Ultimate Warrior, A Life Lived Forever, The Legend of a WWE Hero. With signature moves like the Warrior Splash, epic battles with Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, Randy Savage, and The Undertaker, and impassioned speeches that struck fear into his opponents and inspired warriors across the nation, the late Ultimate Warrior became one of the most revered figures in WWE history. Here, for the first time, the complete legend of the Ultimate Warrior is told in full, from his humble beginnings as a self-proclaimed, small, insecure kid who wasn't into any sports, to his rise to fame, WWE famous, most powerful force in the universe. Through both action and candid photographs, personal moments, including original Warrior art and detailed journal entries, insider stories and exclusive interviews with WWE legends, and intimate accounts from the Warrior family, this unique biography brings a legacy of the Ultimate Warrior to life never before. Relive the Warrior's most intense matches and rivalries and get to know the man behind the face paint in this one-of-a-kind volume. Filled with intense action and little-known details, Ultimate Warrior, A Life Lived Forever is a celebration of the superstar who left a mark on the WWE and redefined sports entertainment for generations. So that should be a fun book.
Should be a very fun book. Can't wait to read it.
So there you go.
So I say we take our first break of the evening.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT because it was the fallout from TakeOver. So what happened with, well, one Kevin Owens and what kind of trouble did he get into? We'll let you know. But till then, you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. We're always thinking about you. Pull my people back home, my people back home, my people back home. See, this one's for my people, from the backwoods to the steeple, from my daddy and that preacher man that taught me to run.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jonathan! That's Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He's a Sasha Ambrose! After he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha!
that he might have himself some jig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the godfather of the street dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know, I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now, god damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this.
They're not open. What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
I'm not
gonna pack a camel light. Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to jump right into NXT. Scoosh.
Yes, we will. As the thing took a second to unmute. Yes, we will. So this was a fun little show, and it was basically the fallout, as you mentioned in the teaser, from NXT TakeOver or Evolution. We had a lot of recap packages from that show. But the big moment that came out of this show was what happened in the main event with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And with Sami Zayn not there, Adrian Neville, well, he had some choice words for Mr. Owens.
For what it's worth, it should be Sami Zayn out here right now. See, last week at NXT TakeOver, me and Sami Zayn, we went to war. Last week, at NXT TakeOver, I had the best match of my career, and I put in a performance that I am proud of. I can honestly hold my hands up and say a TakeOver, the better man won. Sammy won, and I lost. And it was a bitter pill to swallow, but Sami Zayn thoroughly deserves to be the NXT champion. It should be Sami Zayn out here right now. And I wish I could introduce him. I wish I could look up the ramp and say, head into the ring is my friend, Sami Zayn. I wish we could all, you know, have a moment. I wish we could all celebrate. And I wish I could shake Sami Zayn's hand, but I can't. Sami Zayn is not here tonight. And Sami Zayn will not be here tonight. And that's thanks to one person. That's thanks to one person that I know very well, and that is, of course, Kevin Owens. Kevin, wherever you are, I hope you are proud of what you did last week. In fact, I hope there's somebody out there who is proud of you, because I certainly am not.
Well, guys, take a look right there. Kevin Owens, we said it at the outset, a guy that we thought was a good friend of Sami Zayn. And guys, something seemed to, I don't know, something snapped or what it was, but just an unprovoked attack on Sami Zayn, ruining.
It was reprehensible is what it was. Don't mix your words. It was disgusting what he did.
Kevin Owens is a competitor first. He's a friend second.
Oh, man.
Maybe he'll explain himself, maybe he won't, but he doesn't have to explain himself to anybody as far as I'm concerned.
There's an explanation for what he did?
There's got to be. You don't just turn your back on your best friend.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, okay? First of all, before you begin, what you did last week, that was shameful. You had an opportunity, your debut in NXT, in front of the world, and you chose to do that. You chose to do that. Shame on you, man. Shame on you. I don't know what to say.
You don't know what to say. You know what? I actually don't care what you have to say, because your opinion is absolutely irrelevant to me. You want to know what I care about? I care about finally being here. I care about the fact that Sami Zayn is not here, because I am. I don't have a problem with you, but I came here for one reason. That's to get to the absolute top. And I've said that I will find anyone and everyone on my way there. So even though I don't have a problem with you, if you have a problem with me and you want to fight, you got to fight.
I love the passion from Kevin Owens in this one.
Oh, you can tell he wants to be there, and this means a lot to him, and that's coming through in his promo and in his character. And I would agree. I definitely like the promo. It was a great promo, but really he kicked Sami Zayn's ass because, you know, he got called first.
Jealousy.
You know, never mind that he is totally cuter than you, Kevin. Just.
Oh, you're going there.
I'm going there.
She went on the cuteness factor. Wow. Oh.
Just pointing that out.
He was the better Canadian of the two.
He was the more adorable Canadian of the two.
But Neville held his own in this one too. I'm not going to sell him short in this one.
Neville's promo skills have gotten much, much, much better, especially with him being champion. He's been working on them quite a bit, you can tell. They've been helping him with his accent. It's not nearly as heavy as it once was. He's also talking very slowly and deliberately, so you can understand him.
Right.
So that comes across as very forced, but this was one of the better promos I've heard from Adrian Neville in a long time. So, good on him.
Good on him. So that sets up what was confirmed to be the main event of the show, Adrian Neville versus Kevin Owens. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But we got a recap of what happened with Becky and Sasha and Bayley last week. And we heard from Becky Lynch.
Excuse me, Becky, do you have a moment for a quick question?
I've got a match to get ready for.
Well, last week you attacked Bayley during the pre-show of Our Revolution. What's with this whole change of attitude?
Change of attitude? Devin, the only thing that's changed is my ability to see what's in front of me, yeah? Sasha Banks opened my eyes to what it takes to get to the next level of NXT, yeah? My eyes were opened to the fact that smiling and having the fans cheer doesn't mean anything when I am losing week after week after week. My eyes were opened to the fact that if I want to get anywhere, the only person I can rely on, besides myself, of course, is Sasha Banks. And so I hope Bailey's little starry eyes are open. And so that way she can look into my big brown eyes and see the person that's going to end her career permanently. Cheers, Devin.
Solid promo. The voice just throws me off.
Solid yes and no. She needs a little help on the promo. She kind of went in circles a little bit. The voice is definitely a detractor. It's like I don't mean this in a bad way, but I hear her talk and I hear a female version of Sheamus.
That's the nicest way to put it. We'll go with that.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's definitely, when you look at her, you don't expect that voice. And that's the thing. And I'm, again, not trying to make fun of her, but they would probably need to help her a little bit with that and probably work with her, if nothing else, with the accent and maybe make it a little bit less heavy where it's still there, but she can kind of learn to enunciate a little bit more clearly.
Right.
Because she is a little hard to understand, so it might be helpful if, you know, they kind of sit down with her and help her speak a little bit more clearly and enunciate a little bit better, so she's easier to understand, and that might help with her promos just a little bit. But she gave it her all, and, you know, I can't argue with that.
No, I can't argue with it. It just, I don't know. You look at her and you don't expect that voice. It really, really throws you off. Though, we have some sad news now, Lindsay.
What do you mean we have sad news?
We have to hear from Tyler Breeze, and we'll talk about the sad news after he's done telling us the sad news.
Hello, everyone. It's your hero, the King of Cuteville. Just wanted to inform you, I'll be taking a little time away from NXT, as I'm doing some modeling over in Europe for the holidays. But don't worry, I'll keep you informed as to where in the world is Prince Pretty. Tyler Breeze.
Get Rockapella. We need Where in the World is Tyler Breeze.
That's exactly what I thought about, too. When he said that, it's like, oh. So no Tyler Breeze for a little bit.
It makes me so sad. But I love Tyler Breeze.
But that might just be a couple of weeks. He may be back here, and then he'll be back in the very beginning of the year, probably. So that's a good thing. So up next, our first contest of the evening is Becky Lynch and Bayley, and this was a good match between the two, and this brought out the really aggressive side of Bayley.
It did. She went for it. You go, girl. Get it.
She came out at the start, and she was seeking revenge on Becky, and you could just see it in her. She wanted. There was nothing going to stop Bayley in this match. She was aggressive, just hammering in with shots repeatedly. Every time Becky went in and tried to go after her, Bayley would fight right back and just knock her back down. Becky would go after the leg. Bayley tried to keep her away for a while, and she was successful at it for a while. Every comeback, Bayley had a counter, but after countering a roll-up, though, Becky was able to lock in what she calls the four-leaf clover, and sadly, with her injured knee, Bayley had to tap out. It was sad. Sad watching her tap out.
It was.
But I like seeing the aggressive side of Bayley in this one. Which was different.
It shows that there's more to her than just the bouncy, happy Bayley.
When you piss her off,
she will get up in your face and she will mess you the hell up.
Yes, she will. That's for damn sure. So good match, good start for Becky, good win for Becky Lynch. As she seems to be moving up the ranks to probably be in the line for a title shot at some point down the line. But speaking of title shots, let's hear from the champ, Charlotte.
Charlotte, congratulations. Tonight at NXT TakeOver Our Evolution, you still walk away the NXT Women's Champion. Not only do you walk out with your title, but you had a match against Sasha, who was your former BFF. How are you feeling after this match?
Well, not only did I have a match against my former BFF, I did make my debut on Raw on Monday. So it's been a whirlwind of a week. I have to say, Sasha is tough. She definitely is the boss of NXT. But once again, I show that I'm the most dominant diva in the WWE, and I am genetically superior, and NXT is my throne.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good little promo from Charlotte.
Very nice promo.
Before we continue on, I'm liking that we're having a lot of promos tonight. Because it's showing how important the pay-per-view, the live special was. Like, every match sort of mattered on that show. Which is good. So, hearing the wrestlers feel like it mattered to the wrestlers, it's great.
I think it was hugely important to them because it was their show. It was their pay-per-view, their special, and they basically owned the main roster.
It's more than that. It's just that wins and losses down there matter.
You can tell that they're all in it because they want to be in it and that they're fighting to get to that next level. And it shows that this is important to them and everything that they do matters.
Right. Speaking of wins and losses mattering, well, there was a little bit of an issue with the tag title match, and, well, the Vaudevillains had some complaints.
My goodness, who would have thought? Mr. Regal!
Oh, gentlemen, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, not so good.
Why is that?
We need you to see something.
Oh, grave transgression has occurred.
Look at that.
No, it's the video.
It is of our match at NXT TakeOver. Watch the ending.
Do you see?
Do you see?
Not the legal man.
Not the legal man. I was the legal man, yet he was the one who was pinned. How is this allowed to happen?
Well, it isn't, is it? Dreadful oversight on my part. Certainly the referee, I'll be having words with him. Gentlemen, the only thing I can do to right this wrong is to give you a rematch for the NXT Tag Team Champions against the Lucha Dragons.
Tonight. We
can do it tonight, yes? It's funny you should mention that. No, absolutely not. The show's booked up. But I'll sort it out for you.
Excellent.
It's our charge to be the NXT Tag Team Champions
will some ice.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
And we will rid the NXT universe of those wretched Lucha Dragons.
Silly bleeders.
I want more of these three together. I seriously do. I want Regal to teach them how to be proper villains, because, oh my god, that would be amazing.
If anyone knows how to be a proper villain, it's William Regal. I love how he chimed in with the evil laugh with them. He's like, oh, people are doing evil laugh. I got it. This is what I do. I know how to do this, so let's have an evil laugh with them. So it appears, though, Lindsay, that the vaudevillains are in line for another shot because the illegal man was pinned on the show.
He was. Gotch was not legal.
And no one pointed it out. I don't even think we noticed it. It just sort of went, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that, well, the thing is they do finishes like that all the time, and anymore nobody points it out because they just happen. But this is the nice little loophole of saying, oh yeah, by the way, that totally matters. You know, that the illegal man got pinned and therefore the victory is invalid. And the vaudevillains do have a right to do that. Excuse me. So, but yeah, the evil laugh because, you know, it's about standards.
Yeah, yes, it is. And, you know, holding up the letter of the law. Our next contest of the evening was Bull Dempsey versus some dude. The guy in the green got his ass kicked by Bull Dempsey.
Color me surprised.
He also had some purple. So Bull Dempsey beat up some dude. Baron Corbin then showed up. And, well, Baron Corbin faced some guy who looked like he wanted to be Zack Ryder. Corbin won in 14 seconds.
They counted it down.
They did. Tell me if I'm wrong. That guy was trying to be Zack Ryder with the orange in tights and the spiky hair.
You know what? I didn't even see him. I couldn't tell you. It was that quick.
It was that quick. Like, the dude had really spiky blonde hair and had, like, gray and orange and purplish tights and it said something, but it's like, this dude grew up wanting to be Zack Ryder. Huh.
That poor soul.
Poor, poor man. Bull Dempsey shoved Baron Corbin after the match. And that's pretty much what happened there. So we're still building tension between Corbin and Dempsey. We then had our comedic moment of the night from Enzo Amore.
These guys are great. How can you not enjoy this, Greg?
Enzo Amore reminds me of what would happen if you fed Red Bull to a weasel.
Or a rat on Ritalin.
Ascension! You want to jump us from behind? Well, we got some gifts for you.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
How you doing?
Seven fists are swinging. Six to leave them laying.
Five golden rings.
Four letter words. Three in the bench. Two Fugazi studs.
And a beating from the certified G.
Well, that is the most inventive Christmas carol I've ever heard.
Would you stop
because
clapping, Albert?
Because you're S-A-W-F-T!
So?
I really kind of heart Big Cass a lot.
Well done, Enzo. Well done.
Yeah, this was really good.
Which then brought us to Enzo and Big Cass taking on the Ascension, and well, Cass was in control, then Enzo tugged himself in, and well, he tried to take a shot at Connor, and well, it didn't do anything, and then he ate an STO, and That was sort of that. The announcers were trying to say, and Joe was trying to impress Carmella.
Well, he could have been. I mean, she was there at ringside, and she likes Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Not so, Enzo, so.
So the Ascension win in a relatively short match.
They didn't even have their face paint and shoulder pads. What the hell?
Right? I've been seeing these promos, and they have face paint and shoulder pads, and they're like big, tough, scary dudes, and they just didn't have it tonight. Huh. Oh, well. Maybe next week. But we then heard from the big, scary guys with painted faces and shoulder pads.
For the last 2 years, we have proven ourselves to be the very best here in NXT. So after what happened last week at TakeOver, that, we'll consider that beginner's luck. Because Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, as long as the two of us are standing and there is breath in our lungs, this war is far from over. Hideo, Finn, next time we meet, you will fall, and we will rise.
After running through Enzo and Cass tonight, the...
So there you have it. Looks like we're getting a rematch between them at some point.
Which
should be fun to see. But that brought us to our main event, Kevin Owens versus Adrian Neville, and this was a really good match. But, go ahead.
Oh my god, it was so good.
But this was a complete 180 compared to Kevin Owens' debut. He wrestled more as the heel in this one, slowing down Adrian Neville repeatedly. He kept ducking out of the ring, not allowing Neville to really pick up a pace throughout the match or get into a groove. And, you know, working like the heel is what he should have been doing in this one since he turned on Sami Zayn at the pay-per-view. Owens took his time to put a beating on Adrian Neville for a majority of the match, just started yelling at him throughout the match. Neville would use his feet and his speed to get a little bit of a comeback, but every time he would get stopped, he got caught in a gut buster senton for a long two count from Owens. Neville blocked the superplex, but looked like he was going for the red arrow, but got knocked off. And then Owens put him on the top rope for a spike DDT, which was nasty looking for a long two count. Neville, though, used some of his momentum and pulled off a nice German on Kevin Owens, and then dove over the top rope with basically the red arrow over the top rope, which was fantastic. Or some sort of corkscrew, something or other. Owens got rammed Neville into the ring post, and both men got counted out. So there was no winner in this fantastic main event match. But things weren't done as well. Kevin Owens decided to pick up Mr. Neville and powerbomb him into the side of the ring, which looked like it hurt like no other.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. There were some sick spots in this match. That was one of them.
That was one of them. I was impressed by this match. I like how Kevin Owens quickly went from, yeah, I'm going to be this big, fancy, flippy-floppy babyface in his debut to the more, I'm just going to beat your ass heel.
Yeah, that was nice. That was really nice.
To what needed to happen. And apparently the Jaguars are going to win. How about that?
Hey, look, I picked it right.
So did I. How about that?
But you're not going to catch me. I feel the glare from here. It's awesome. So I say we take our second break of the evening, and final break, I should say. And when we come back, we're going to be talking Tweet of the Week and TLCS. You don't want to miss it, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Join your only Excuse Me Home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, for That Christmas Show. Celebrate the Christmas season with your favorite bunch of Grinches as we give you all the weird, wacky, and unusual that Christmas can possibly bring, including trivia games, Christmas music, and of course, Subway's 12 Days of Christmas.
12th day of Christmas, what part of the year to me? 12 golden thongs, 11 angry RPers, 10 bottles of Faygo, 9 pieces of fun. 8 role plays in my mailbox, 7 packs of paper, 6 horrible carol by daughter.
Be a part of all the fun that CB Radio's That Christmas Show can bring live Saturday night, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now, we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Bailey, or actually I should say Becky Lynch. Ugh, those new hashtag Bailey bands. Surely no one is uncool enough to wear one. To which Bailey replies, seems like they're selling out just like you.
Ooh.
Robert Downey Jr., be patient, work on your hustle, and exact your revenge. Hashtag Monday advice.
Hustle, loyalty, respect, yo.
And revenge.
And revenge.
Bailey, just found out there's an at Tim Hortons in San Jose. Ah, heck yes. One more reason to be excited about home. Scott Dawson replies, don't leave.
Going to throw this out there. This is not a tweet I have favorited, but Tracy Brooks was in a panic because she read something on a website saying that Tim Hortons no longer selling Timbits since being bought out by Burger King. She was all freaked out, though she read it on a satire website and had to be calmed down by Lance Storm.
That's awesome.
They had a back and forth. She was freaking out over Timbits not being around anymore.
Have you ever had Timbits?
No, I haven't.
Jesus Christ, they're so good. If they stopped making Timbits, they would go out of business. A friend of mine from Canada, when he comes to visit, brings me a box of Timbits from Tim Hortons, because we can't get them here. So he will bring me an entire box of chocolate Timbits. It's awesome. Love you, Joe Moore. Awesome. But anyway, Scott Dawson goes, don't leave! And Bailey replies, we can FaceTime! And he goes, hell yeah! As soon as I learn to use the spam phone.
Okay.
And that's all I got.
Not Sports Center. Arizona Cardinals Christmas list. A quarterback. Another quarterback for when that quarterback gets hurt. Yet another quarterback for when that quarterback gets hurt. A new ambulance. Tommy Dreamer. The ladders give you the best support, never the tables. When someone asked the question, who will you support at WWE TLC? Frank Caliendo. The plot twist during Taken 3 is when kidnappers force Liam Neeson's daughter to watch the Jets-Titans game. Keep it 5-star. Are these fools talking about the Flintstones during a match? The answer was yes, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Corey Graves. Slammy trophies look great on your mantle and are surprisingly effective for fending off angry Samoans. Robert Flores. Dang, Romo, it's not a 10 Mississippi rush. James Caldwell, coming January 9th, Liam Neeson is John Cena. Insurmountable odds. Solomon Crow, I finally get it. The bunny is Pete Rose. Keep it 5-star. Eric Rowan just found himself some new Facebook friends in the Usos. Keep it 5-star. Jimmy Uso and Naomi do a handshake kiss. Natty, see TJ, that's... Sees Tyson doing the handshake with Cesaro, then sighs. Not SportsCenter goes, 49ers Christmas list. A new code for when Harbaugh leaves. Bail money for the players. Attorney for the players. A nose job for Kaepernick. CM Punk. Where were the hackers when Phantom Menace was released? Fake John Madden. Report Marcus Mariota seen pacing back and forth, hoping the Titans somehow pull out this game. Well, the Jaguars won.
Oops.
And finally, heel book. Lana, I'll pay you $1,000 if you go right back. You are dumb as fuck. That's Tweet of the Week.
I can hear her saying that in my head, too, and it's awesome.
It's exactly what I hear in my head. It's tremendous. Please, Lana, do it.
Do it. Do it. Somebody make her find that and get her to do it, because that would be amazing. WWE would be so pissed, but it would be worth it. It would
be worth it.
Just for the entertainment value alone.
It would make us laugh, and the internet laugh. So, that's what counts.
I think everybody laugh. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm done. Yeah, anyway, continue. Move on.
So, TLCS.
the show they had to rename for Eric Rowan. It's tremendous. I guess we should start with the pre-show, because that's where everything began, and where one of the things was. New Day versus Golden Stardust. Stardust was in green. Why? I don't know, but he was.
He's experimenting with color.
Clearly.
Green is not his color.
Neither was white. That led to multiple Great Gazoo references as they were going back and forth, and then someone texted Jerry Lawler saying, Michael Cole was Googling Great Gazoo so Jerry Lawler would know who he was, and then apparently someone texted Jerry Lawler that, well, hey, we have a movie with the Flintstones. Don't, diss the Flintstones. And this is where I wrote in my notes, announcers seem bored.
Yeah, they weren't into this one. And I have to confess, neither was I.
And in the end, Kofi and Big E win with some sort of move they do with the big ending, and Kofi comes off the top rope. Seems like he's doing the double stop that everyone's doing down in NXT. It's amazing how that's happening.
Isn't it though?
Right, he did on the pay-per-view and on Raw the double stomp. Trying to steal the move before someone down in NXT could use it on TV. By the way, Big E and Kofi couldn't figure out who was legal. The ref had to say, "Kofi's legal!" Really, really loud, and Big E had to roll out. So that was the pre-show. Paul Heyman was awesome. But we move on to the main show. Luke Harper.
It's Paul Heyman. Come on.
Luke Harper, Dolph Ziggler, Intercontinental Championship ladder match. I'll just go.
Holy crap! This was a great, great, great match. I mean, you want to talk about a way to open a show? That's it.
They killed
these two. Tried to kill each other.
So that's exactly what I wrote. They killed each other. We had power bombs onto the ladder. We had Luke Harper diving through the ropes into Ziggler with ladders, and looked like he hurt his shoulder, and Ziggler got busted open, which led to one dramatic moment where Luke is climbing up the ladder, and the doctor's checking on Ziggler on the outside, and trying to stop the bleeding, and he has to rush up, and the unintentional drama moment that was. But you saw Luke, he hurt himself in this one. He was walking a little gingerly on Raw, and you can see why, because they took some bumps, and Ziggler took a lot of crazy falls that looked like they hurt more than they probably did. But this was a really good opener. Finish saw a super kick off the... there were two ladders, Ziggler super kick, Harper off the other one, and Ziggler pulled down the gold. This was a good showcase for Ziggler, but I would say it was an even bigger showcase for Luke, just to show that it's been a while since we've seen a variety of different people in these type of matches, and I was glad to see Luke get the opportunity.
They're taking advantage of Luke's previous background in various other promotions that will remain nameless, and for security purposes.
Yes.
And there we go. We'll go with that. And we're
protecting the innocent.
Protecting the innocent, yes. Not that Luke Harper's innocent, but...
No, he's not.
Not in any form. But they're playing to his strengths, which you can tell that more unconventional matches are his strengths. And Luke is a fantastic wrestler to begin with. He's an amazing performer, but dude knows how to work a ladder match. He knows how to work a cage match. He's got the experience level that he can do matches like this, and he can do them with someone like Ziggler, who is equally as good, and they can pull something really phenomenal off.
Ziggler was in his hometown, and he was looking to prove it, prove something. He was out to grab a ring.
Yeah, they're... Basically, a challenge was issued by Vince McMahon, and it was either put up or shut up. Harper and Ziggler put up. Just saying. They put up big. I mean, this was a phenomenal opener. Great. Great match. If you missed it, go back and find this. Go watch it.
Pick up the network. Watch this match. $9.99.
It's just, wow. This was great.
We then had the tag team titles, the Usos, taking on Miz and Mizdow. It is what you expect. There was some tension a little bit between Miz and Mizdow, a little bit in this match, not much. The finish saw the Usos go for a double dive. Miz pushed Mizdow into the double dive, or into a dive, I think. And then Miz used his slammy on the Usos, and that caused the disqualification. Miz and Mizdow retain the gold, but the Usos pick up the win, and that's where the whole tweet was about. The slammy comes in handy to take out Samoans, and that's sort of what happened. It was your typical Mizdow Usos match. It built to a dive.
Which it always does, and Mizdow is highly entertaining. He's over as hell. Yeah.
Then we had the reason why the pay-per-view was changed. Steel Stairs match. And on the pre-show, they were just trying to build up the stairs as these big, giant forces of like 300 pounds or whatever. They were doing an anatomy of the steel steps. It was just tremendous. But then we had the match. The match was alright. It wasn't the greatest match. It wasn't, by far, it wasn't the worst match I've ever seen. These two men just... They were given an opportunity to play with stairs, and for the first time ever, I thought they did a good job. Eric was stacking stairs, and got, well, speared through them. Poor Eric.
Poor baby.
They beat each other with the stairs. It was all right. It was all right. It wasn't great, but it wasn't the worst match I've ever seen. And the only thing I would have done was cut maybe like 3-4 minutes off the match.
They tried. They really, really, really tried. And I think in Eric Rowan's case, Eric really works best with smaller guys. When he's working with someone that's his size or larger, which there aren't a lot of those guys in the WWE, but when he's working with someone as large as he is or bigger, he's not as impressive.
Because his style is throw him around, swing him around, and sort of just use his power on guys. And when he has to play the guy trying to make the comeback, it's not his strength.
Yeah, and I mean, and Eric will learn. That's the thing. Eric is still growing. Eric is still learning, and he will learn. But I think it's something of they did their best with what they were given. I mean, when you're told, hey, you're having a stairs match, it's kind of like, eh?
Right, and it's first time ever, so they were just trying some things. My problem, and this was the biggest problem I had on the show, Big Show won. Big Show shouldn't have won.
Yeah, that's my issue with this. That's my issue with Raw. That's my issue with Main Event, is you've had Eric Rowan now lose 3 times in a row, which Eric is getting over in a big way.
Right.
And I don't understand why you would kill his momentum to have Big Show win, unless you're going to have Eric eventually just snap and go after everybody. Which, if you do, I don't think that would be as successful as the Gentle Giant, because that's pretty much what everybody's liking about Eric, is he is this huge, scary-looking dude with the mentality of a 5-year-old. And when he's not in the ring and he's not feeling threatened where he has to defend himself, he's just this sweet, lovable guy, and that's why I think a lot of people are latching on to him, because it's like, oh, hey, he's really not that bad. He's not that monster that Bray Wyatt made him out to be. Now, could that monster that's inside of Eric come out? Yeah, absolutely. It can totally come out. And you can figure out a way to do that, but, you know, it's just having Eric lose when you're still trying to build him? No.
I understand why, because they're feeding Big Show to Roman, but at some point, new big guys need to win, and this was the big guy that needed to win on this show.
The thing is Big Show can take the loss. It's a stairs match, it's on TLC, you're building Eric Rowan. Nobody really is honestly going to care that Big Show lost to Eric.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know. But that's sort of the reasoning behind it. And it's an awful reason.
It's a horrible reason, because it's like, okay, well, you're going to feed Show to Roman. You don't need Show to look strong for Roman to beat him. If Eric Rowan softens Big Show up for Roman, well, so be it.
Right.
And that's the thing, is it's like, you're trying to build Eric, you're trying to build a new star in him, and you have him job to the Big Show. It's like, it's the same thing with Luke Harper. Like, I understand why Luke Harper had to lose to Ziggler. And I am completely 100% fine with Luke Harper losing to Ziggler. But there have been other losses that Luke Harper has taken that didn't make a lot of sense, and that he really shouldn't have taken.
Right.
So it's just, it's questionable booking decision right here with Eric. It's just like, why would you have him lose? Have him win.
Because just the one win would have given him some credibility, and that's sort of what he needed coming out of the show.
Because, yeah, and then you turn around and it's like on SmackDown, You have him leading a team.
Right?
When he can't pick up a victory, it's like, what?
Right? So it's just sort of, yeah. Then we go to what we all thought was going to be the main event, but was in the middle of the show and made myself and Lindsay go, yay!
I knew it wasn't going to be the main event.
She just has to be right. I swear to God. Anyway.
Because I am right.
She just wants to prove it that she's right, and, you know. Anyway, tables match. John Cena, Seth Rollins. We had AA through the tables. The ref went down. J&J security cleaned out the table out of the ring, allowing, you know, oh, nothing happened. And then J&J security got AA through the tables. Both men then fell through a table. And it was like, wait, who won? Was it Rollins? Was it Cena? Who won? It reminded me of 1993 Royal Rumble. Both men landed at the same time. It's like, oh my God, who won? So we had one ref come down and say, John Cena. One ref says, Rollins. And then the ref who couldn't see anything says, restart the match. So we then had an AA off the announce table. Yes, Seth Rollins bounced off the announce table, so he didn't go through it. Luckily, that would have sucked if the table broke. but it killed the rest of the spots. Big Show then showed up. He manhandled Cena. And then John Cena's new best friend, Roman Reigns, showed up. He speared Big Show through a table, Superman punch, followed by the AA through the table, your winner, John Cena.
This was another one that a lot of people were upset with.
But the right person won.
The right person won, and I'm going to tell you why the right person won.
Go ahead.
It makes no sense to have Seth Rollins win beyond it gives Seth Rollins a win, which he needs. I'm not going to disagree. Seth Rollins does need a big win. Which they gave to him on Raw. It's not as big on as it would be on pay-per-view, but they did give him a win right after he lost, which kind of counterbalances it. Here's the problem. Say Seth Rollins won at TLC.
Okay.
That means John Cena is no longer number one contender. So now you have to find a number one contender for Brock Lesnar's title.
Yes.
For the Rumble. So it's you either feed Seth Rollins to Brock Lesnar, which is going to hurt him infinitely worse than losing to John Cena at TLC, or you find another individual to name number one contender and feed that person to Brock and potentially kill their momentum, or some in a roundabout way, you rename John Cena number one contender after realizing that you don't have anybody else to feed to Brock, and it completely invalidates Seth's win altogether. It's simply an easier path to get John Cena and Brock Lesnar in that match together to just have John Cena win this match, go on to the Royal Rumble, he will face Brock Lesnar at the Rumble, he will get his ass beat at the Rumble, you're going to have Roman win the Rumble this year, and that will get him and Brock to Mania, which is what the supposed plan is. But it's easier to feed Cena to Brock because, well, one, Cena can take the loss, and two, they can tell that kind of puts a little bit of doubt on Cena for WrestleMania if he gets his ass beat bad enough. Mm-hmm. And they can tell that comeback story that they love to tell with John Cena.
Right.
So it's like, you know, yeah, do I like the fact that John Cena didn't put Seth Rollins over here? Yeah, of course I don't like it, but I understand why it had to happen. I understand why they needed John Cena to go over here, because John Cena is going to be the sacrificial lamb to Brock. So the rest of the roster can shine.
Exactly. Divas Championship, AJ Lee versus Nikki Bella. They actually let them wrestle. Nikki wore an outfit Lindsay approved of.
Who did this?
Nikki. You approved of her outfit because she was covered up some more?
Oh, right. Yeah, she wore the WrestleMania gear. Yeah, which is she has the slightly larger shorts. I know it's a stupid thing to pick over, but I'm just scared to death that those little itty-bitty black trunks that Nikki Bella wears, just like everything, they're just going to snap one day and everything's just going to come flying out everywhere. Which I'm pretty sure nobody wants, especially her.
Right.
So it's I always get concerned anytime she wears the itty bitty black shorts. So when she wore the tan ones with that are, you know, bedazzled out the wazoo, I was like, yay! I don't have to worry about her stuff flying everywhere in this match. Woohoo!
So they had a solid match. It wasn't the greatest match. Nikki sprayed hairspray in the face of AJ, blonded hair. Brie Bella got kicked out. And then there's the rack attack for the win. Your winners, Nikki Bella retains the gold.
This wasn't the greatest match. I will agree with you on that. But Nikki has gotten much better.
Yes,
in the ring.
Yes, she has.
And part of that is due to AJ selling for her and making her look good. But the other part of that is Nikki has improved quite a bit in the ring since the last time I can remember her wrestling solo. In a serious match.
In a serious match, yes.
Nikki's really put in her time. She's really put in an effort to get better in the ring, and I can appreciate that. I'm glad that they got the time that they got, and they could tell the story that they told. I thought the finish was pretty clever to do the hairspray.
It was.
And have AJ lose via shenanigans.
Protects AJ and keeps Nikki the heel looking strong.
Exactly. So, I would say solid contest all the way around.
Roman Reigns enters the Royal Rumble. He sort of froze during his promo.
He's trying.
He tried to remember his lines, and it's... Okay. Live TV. It was not Roman's friend on Sunday night. Gonna make this simple. Chairs match, Kane, Ryback. It was awful. Shell shock, Ryback wins. Poor Kane.
Oh my god, poor Kane. Poor Kane.
He took a lot of chair shots.
He did. Bless him.
I think that's all that needs to be said.
This match was... Yeah. So...
U.S. Championship match, Rusev versus Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger was going to pull this epic moment where he has locked in the accolade, trying to get up, trying to get the fans behind him, but the fans were watching a drunk dude in the audience get kicked out.
Yeah, they were more entertained by that.
Like, bless Jack Swagger, he was trying. He did he had the big spot, the comeback spot. We're gonna power out of it, and the fans were just sort of.
Yeah, the fans were just kind of done. I mean, they were so done at this point. It was like they didn't care.
Well, they were distracted and they just couldn't help them. So Swagger eventually did tap out. Then we get to our main event, which was really, 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 really awesome. Tables, ladders, chairs. Oh my. Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose. Holy crap, was this awesome.
This is everything I wanted and more.
We had table spots, we had ladder spots, we had chair spots, we had Singapore cane spots where, yes, canes are legal in a tables, ladders, and chairs match, just despite anyone's other objections to it, they are legal. Dean Ambrose tried to, you know, get it, he almost had his eye taken off by a cane thanks to Bray Wyatt shoving it into the turnbuckle and then throwing Dean's face into it, which was amazing. And then, which they probably did on house shows many, many times, I would assume. They beat each other with a cane, they beat each other with chairs and ladders and tables. Dean put Bray through, what, three tables?
Three or four.
We had the small ladder, the normal size ladder. He put him through off that one. Then he upgraded it a little bit. And then he brought out the big old ladder and came diving off that ladder. Yeah. These were great. And the third table spot was the Spanish announce table. And Dean Ambrose. The politest moment ever for a Spanish announce table.
That was so cute.
Please, sir.
I would like to destroy your table. Please move.
Please. Hands together. Please, sir. Can I use your table now? Thank you. And Dean Ambrose checked himself out on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was checking himself out, he noticed the big old ladder. And that moment where he went, ooh. He saw that ladder and went, I can do things with it. And he ran and got it. So this was a great match. Both men got to deliver a beating on one another, which they've been doing a lot lately.
Yeah.
They delivered a beating on one another. They had moments where it's like, you know, you had Bray back off a little bit, and Dean's like, Bray was like, oh, crap. And Lindsay's been missing her Bray Wyatt for a while, and you know, then he showed up, what, in the apron?
Yeah, asshole.
So the finish of the match, and this is a talked about finish that some people hated, but I really thoroughly enjoyed. Because this played on Dean Ambrose going, see, I have a television. I'm going to smashy smash Bray Wyatt with it. Well, it sparks flew out of it because he pulled on the wires and went, psh! Blinded Dean Ambrose. He ate the Sister Abigail for the 1-2-3 creative finish, I thought.
This match was so good. I mean, they just went out there and they beat on each other for, like, what, 25 minutes? They did tables, they did ladders, they did chairs, they whipped out a kendo stick. I've heard a lot of people complaining about the kendo stick and how that makes this just nothing more than a glorified hardcore match. Well, here's the thing. That's all it is a glorified hardcore match. This isn't the first time we've seen a Singapore cane in a TLC match. It's not going to be the last time we've seen a Singapore cane. It's basically they just beat each other up with whatever they can find. It's just back in the day, they didn't necessarily, when they first started TLC, they didn't play so much with TVs and kendo sticks or Singapore canes and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this match was really good. It told a wonderful story. And I love the rivalry / relationship.
Yeah, relationship is a good... I was going to say gamesmanship, but relationship is a good way to put it, too.
Between Dean and Bray. Because there's this almost mutual respect for the other's crazy. And it's... They're just fighting for no reason. They don't care that they're fighting. They're just fighting. And they're having a hell of a fun time doing it. And they're just going to beat the crap out of each other. There's no other reason other than that as to why this is all happening beyond, I'm just going to kick your ass now. Have fun with that. And I love that about these two, how they told that story. And you had Bray get his looks in. You had Dean get his looks in. You got to see both sides of the characters. And, you know, in terms of the finish, I've kind of gone back and forth on this. I'm not 100% happy with the TV, but it's something that it was creative. They needed to keep Dean strong, and they needed to keep Bray strong. And that was the only way that you could really get around it, because it's a DQ match, or it's a no DQ match. So if somebody interferes, well, guess what? You can't get disqualified. So you have to find another way to have a somewhat screwy finish in order for it to work.
Should also mention Dean dove off the pre-show set as well.
Yeah. They went everywhere, all over that arena, and just had a good time while doing it, and, you know, probably hurt a lot on Monday morning. But I can appreciate what they did in terms of the finish. Totally fine with Bray going over if the rumors are true and Bray's getting Taker. They need to build Bray as strong as possible, so I would expect him to win from here on out until we hear that familiar gong. If that gong happens, I don't know, we're coming up on WrestleMania season and we need our Santa.
We're not going to talk about, we're really not going to talk about what we saw this week, are we?
What are we going to talk about?
That picture, we're not going to talk about that.
What, the fact that Taker looked old?
Yeah.
No, we're not. Absolutely not, we are not talking about that. Sorry.
I was trying to avoid it. Keep going.
But, yeah, I liked the match. I really genuinely did like the match. I waffled back and forth on the finish with the TV, but ultimately it's what needed to happen because you have to have Bray look strong. You have to keep Dean strong. And with Dean eating another loss with Bray, that was really, you know, it's like if it's a little screwy and he gets blinded and he eats a Sister Abigail and Bray picks up the victory, it's not as bad as Bray just picking up the Sister Abigail and getting a clean win. You know, it's something of Dean got a little bit too cocky. He lost his focus. He went for it. He took a gamble on the TV and he lost. It's really kind of that simple. And it led to something at fantastic, a tribute to the troops. I have little doubt that we'll probably get one more.
At least.
At least from, you know, these two before they move away from it for right now. But, I mean, it's like this was a great match. Loved it from start to finish. And I imagine both of them needed a hug afterwards because, oh, my God.
Now, as far as picks went, I went 6-3 and you went 5-4 because we differed on one match. You went with your heart, I went with logic. Ryback and Kane. I picked Ryback.
I refused to pick the Ryback.
This is the only match we differed on. And that determined the winner between me and you. So good stuff. Good pay-per-view. It wasn't the greatest pay-per-view, but the two matches that I wanted to see really delivered. Seth Rollins and John Cena was a really good match as well. So three good matches for $9.99. Hey, I'll take it.
The main matches that were advertised, so your main event, Cena and Seth, and I would argue possibly Luke and Dolph.
They're the three matches I was talking about, yes.
Delivered.
Your open, your middle, and your close, delivered.
And that's all you can ask for. You know, everything else is just kind of figure, or is kind of filler. No offense to Kane, no offense to Eric. But it's all just kind of filler for the three big matches that are on the card. And it all has to sort of spiral up to the main event. And then the main event has to live up to what the opener started with. The middle continued. Now they have to finish it. And I would say that Bray and Dean made themselves at TLC.
Yeah, and somebody in our chat room wants to get smacked because they said somebody was looking like Great Grandpa waiting for pudding.
He does.
He does. But we don't hear it.
Trust me, my heart broke when I saw that picture, okay? It just, it it's a whole new level of pain. Just saying.
Just saying. So there you go. Good show.
It was a very good show, very solid show. I'd give it a B.
B's good. I'll go with that.
You know, I really did actually enjoy it. I was a little distracted because of Once Upon a Time, so I did have to go back and rewatch the first hour of the show.
Same here.
So, yeah. So after rewatching it without dealing with the Rumble Bell feels...
Right. Yeah. God. Yeah.
Screw you. Once Upon a Time, people screw you so hard. And, you know, I just kind of watched the Cowboys kick the Eagles' asses. I mean, you know, just a...
Alright, no. Not but only did she watch it. Alright. We're going to talk about this for a second because then we got to wrap up. She was giving me crap the whole time. Because we were sitting here on Skype talking as it was going on. She was giving me crap the entire time. The thing was, like, the Eagles did a good play. And she was like, finally. What took them so long?
Finally. Good Lord. It took them forever to get cooking. And they still fucking lost.
I know. It's sad. It was sad.
And who did they lose to?
Some Dallas team. What?
You're welcome, King Kittens. Merry Christmas.
That was your Christmas gift.
So, alright, well, I say we wrap this puppy up.
We want your questions. That means you, King Kittens, and you can have all the fun you want with us for Ask the Rack on Jingle the Rack, our next week's Christmas special. Get your questions in by Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
Because we're taping it Tuesday night. Oh, that's going to be an adventure. Anyway, so if you want to listen to Jingle the Rack, it'll come out on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I haven't figured that one out. Figure out when we get it up and running. But check it out. Jingle on the Rack. Ask the Rack. Send questions to media@wildtalkradio.com or tweet them at wildtalkradio or facebook.com/wildtalkradio network or, you know, how to get a hold of us by now. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio. It's That Damn Christmas Special 2 featuring Subway's 12 Days of Christmas. And appearance, we're in talks with Jabber Claws to be on the show as well in some fashion. It is That Damn Christmas Show 2 this Saturday night, midnight-ish, for CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WGR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Use the hashtag BlameRob. Go to CBRadioLive.com. Check out CBRadioLive.com. I believe the YouTube channel is linked there. If not, check the Facebook page. We have the past couple, or at least two of the 12 days of CB Radio on the Facebook page right now. Sunday night is Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday at Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, covering Monday Night Raw. And like I mentioned, Jingle All the Rack, the Christmas special. With myself and Lindsay with playing Ask the Rack and some other fun little stuff we'll come up with for the Christmas show. It's going to be a fun time had by all. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. To get the show on iTunes, search for Wild Talk Radio Network or Rack Radio Show. Same for TuneIn Radio, just search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And on Stitcher, Wild Talk Radio Network or Rack Radio Show.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to listen to The Rack, normally every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. But don't forget, it's a special Christmas episode of The Rack next week. We're pre-taping it on Tuesday, so send us your questions for Ask The Rack. Get them in by Tuesday afternoon. So tell your friends, if they listen to the show, spread the word, get it out there, because, well, we need stuff to answer.
We're
just going to sit here and BS for, like, 2 hours.
So you might just want that, but, you know. We want questions.
Because then we'll get all sappy and we'll talk about the year. We're basically going to sit here and brag about everything we did for 2 hours.
And you don't want that.
You seriously don't want that.
But you know what? In 2015, when we're live again, we got some stuff planned.
Right.
It's going to be... Business is picking up.
It's going to be a slobber knocker, y'all.
We're out of here.
So you've been listening to it. So, and, well, before I close the show, I should say thank you to PWMania.com, TNAAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion action figure needs. For Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! Stop this train. So hop on board or get out the way, cause I was born this way. Train. You can't stop us, we can't be stopped. WildTalkRadio.com